This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Lean Local. This is the show where as much as going on throughout the world, the U.S., all this stuff going on in D.C. and Ukraine and the Gaza Strip, there's a lot going on right here in our community of Greater Green Bay. And what I like to do for the next hour is lean local and talk about issues that, it's not the national or state level. It's local, things that are maybe closest to us as residents, as taxpayers, as business owners. We read a lot about how great Green Bay is doing. I just read an article a couple weeks ago again. I think we were the ninth best of, I don't know if it was for retirees or the ninth best. And of course, we've been number one place to live in the United States. And, you know, you look at all that and you think, wow, there's nothing wrong. It's like utopia, but it's not. And let's be honest, I think one of the things that when I was in office, we weren't afraid to talk about things, and those things are still here today. I think we're addressing them differently, and I think it's important that we address issues like fentanyl, like homelessness, and something that we've talked about on another show that I am is we talk about physical health all the time. I work out with a trainer. We talk about all these equipment we have, all these diets we go on, and it's just crazy the amount of money, time, and energy we talk about physical health. Equally as important as mental health. And we don't go in for a mental health checkup. We don't take enough tests. And we're going to talk about that today. And I hope our listeners lean into this conversation because we have with us Chris, is it Bivens?
Bivens.
Chris Bivens, who works with everything from the Hope Line to the Center Prevention of Suicide to... You've had some personal experiences. I think when I talk to you, you're the real life expert. Would that be fair to say?
Sure, fair to say.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you're here, and I take a great interest in the mental health of this community. I sometimes think not that it's the emperor with no clothes, but do you think Don't you think we need to talk about this more?
I do. I think it's, you know, the elephant in the room. We are so good at being Midwest nice. We don't want to address the ugly, and so we don't talk about it. And it's also scary when you see someone get upset or be hurting. You hurt. Yeah. You know, we have these things called mirror neurons that help us understand what other people are feeling. And when someone is feeling sad, you start feeling sad and it brings down the room, and a lot of people don't want to be responsible for that, so they brush it under the rug or hide it in the closet.
All right, and that's never a good thing.
Right.
I mean, that whole pushing things down, let's not talk about it, the elephant in the room, that can create for a lot of dysfunction in one's life and in one's family.
Right. When you can talk about it, when it's out in the open, when people know that you're struggling, they will offer help, right? Everyone wants to be there to help you out when they know you need it. But if you're hiding it, no one's stepping up to say, oh, what can I do for you?
And when it comes to health, and look, I don't want to sound like an old-fashioned Midwest guy, but I do think a father sets the tone for things. I think, and there's studies to prove that, right? I think if a dad, I just remember when I really got into this whole exercise thing, like, you know, my kids were like going to sign up for the treadmill at the house, or when if the father goes to church, or the kids have a better tendency to do that. And I'm not real shy. Kyle, he laughs about it, but I'm not real shy about telling people that I've been to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I just have, and I think they've been great. And I still think I spend a little too much on physical health and not enough on mental health. But, like, I think it's okay. And don't you think part of the problem is, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. We're not embarrassed, but we don't talk about it.
Well, macho, right? We're guys. We can't cry.
Well, I've never
we
been called
be
macho,
tough.
But thank you.
Yeah, so there is some research that talks about the importance of mom and dad having a healthy relationship. And if mom and dad are demonstrating a healthy relationship and they are taking care of their mental health, then the kids know how to take care of their mental health. And yeah.
But mental health, I want to, just because you go see a counselor, I mean, it could be a priest.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be the guy in the white jacket charging
it
you $500 an hour.
Friend.
Right.
It could be your friend who helps you through a tough time, right? It doesn't have to be a professional.
But to say I went running with someone, that's like super acceptable. To say I went and talked to someone about the depression or the anxiety I'm feeling.
Right. And double the stigma if not only did you go talk to someone, but now you're on psych meds. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So there is still a big stigma out there. I mean, I think it's much better than it was because we've publicized it. It's been in the media with, like, the stars talk about their mental health. I mean, look at Simone Biles is setting a great example.
Totally.
Taking a break. So I think it is more acceptable, but it's not where it needs to be yet.
All right. And you, I want to talk a little bit about this hope line. I think that's such a better term than helpline, right? I mean, the hope line is, and that's something that we need so much in this country is hope.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish more people would say, feel better about themselves. I mean, I work at a homeless shelter, and I think sometimes there's more hope there than there is with some of the other people I talk to who are just mainstream. Anyway, the city of Green Bay, I want to get back to how we are perceived as, you talked about Green Bay nice or Midwest nice, maybe that's what you said.
Yeah.
How things are pretty level here. But with this hope line, when did you start that? Are the calls increasing, decreasing? Can you tell me a little bit about what the majority of calls are that come in?
So the hope line was born in Kaukauna, just a little south. Because a bar held a meat raffle, my boss, the founder of Center for Suicide Awareness and the Hope Line, couldn't find people who were willing to support a mental health text line 10 years ago. Now, remember, this is pre-pandemic. This is text is pretty a new technology for us. So people were not supportive of a text line starting, wouldn't put their money behind it. But a bar stepped up in Kaukauna and held a meat raffle, and that was the money that got the text line started here in Wisconsin. Yep. And so...
Kind of sad it took that to do it. You know what I mean? Like, but whatever, it started.
Well, and one of the biggest supporters of Center for Suicide Awareness has been the Tavern League. Bartenders hear the stories. They see the people who are struggling. And so we felt like that was a great partnership, and they've been super supportive. And we educate and train the bartenders. When you see someone who's struggling, slip them a Hope Line card, use the coaster with the Hope Line information. You know, we're training beauticians and bartenders. We're training the people who hear the stories.
Beauticians for sure. I mean, I know some. I was married to one. It just that, right? That's all they do is hear people's problems, anxieties, depressions, secrets. And I mean, you got to get out and talk to someone more professional than a bartender or beautician. But the fact that they're aware of it, that they can hand out your card or your company's card, I think is a great first step. So I want to talk about the. If we're doing the right thing, you know, talking about it, are you one on prescriptions? Are you, I know there's not one magic solution, but what is the most, let's talk about, I wonder, what's the most common, what's the word I'm like?
Myth? The most common myth?
Well, we can talk about, go ahead. What's the most common myth? I was looking for, what's the most common call you get? Is it depression? Is it anxiety? Is it fear of, is it the fear people have? Is it that the Green Bay Packers aren't in the Super Bowl? Or I mean, what do you hear?
Well, so Most of the contacts we get are about relationships. Mom and dad are fighting and I don't know what to do about it. Or I'm in a fight with mom and I don't know what to do about it. Or my boyfriend broke up with me. Or my teacher hates me. Or, you know, almost all of the calls we get from the people young to the 85-year-olds who are reaching out are our relationship calls. They're struggling with they're lonely. They don't have anyone to talk to. Yeah, that's our bulk of our calls.
I believe that. Yeah, I work at a shelter, and so often it is relationships. I'm not a licensed counselor at all. I mean, my job there is to get volunteers and raise money, but there's case managers there like you who really know this stuff. Mm-hmm. If it is relationships, and you know, the world revolves around relationships,
yep.
Like, where does that fall apart? Or are we doing the right things at the grade schools? Or do we need more preparation for marriage counseling? Or, you know, whether you marry same sex or not, I mean, there's still this relationship. And I don't know, some people just go and get married. It's like, really? Don't you want to?
Yeah. So, I have said for a long time that we should have a healthy relationship class as part of our education. For a brief period of time, myself and someone from the Sexual Assault Center were teaching a healthy relationship class at NWTC for the Learning for Independence program, mm-hmm. Kids with developmental delays. And that was fabulous. And I said, I need my kids to have this class.
Right.
And we started with your relationship with yourself, what you believe about yourself, what you want for yourself, what your goals are. And then we talked about how to make friends and how to maintain friends. I think we really struggle in our society with how to repair relationships when they get damaged. And it's inevitable. If you have a relationship with someone for any amount of time, it's going to be damaged.
Oh, I want to talk about that repair because I could probably learn something here. I think this is great you're here. And I hope you're okay sharing this. I mean, I hope our listeners are, because this struggling with mental health relationships, it affects everybody.
Yeah,
it just
absolutely.
Does. So we're gonna be back with Chris Bivin.
Mm-hmm.
I have that right. Chris Bivin, who is a Center for Suicide Awareness and also works with the Hope Line here in Greater Green Bay. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and today we are talking about kind of behavioral health. We're talking about just dealing with relationships. I mean, you know, we got our new president saying we're entering this golden age, and I happen to be one of those people who believe in setting a culture verbally. Now, that's, you know, like the Roaring Twenties. I don't know, did they really know they were getting into that? But I mean, we were coming out of an unbelievable depression and you know, the stock market crash and, you know, the FDR's, you know, like, you know, the New Deal, we're going to be building that. And, you know, so the president has said, you know, we're entering this golden age effective today. I think that's kind of cool in that we are entering this, and the golden age is, you know, the money to be made, things to happen, fun to have. But if you don't feel part of that, it gets lonely.
Yeah.
Like very lonely.
Yeah.
And we were talking before we went to break that one of the biggest problems with feeling lonely, feeling depressed, feeling anxious is a relationship. And there's many of us who have severed some relationships for whatever reason. So I'd like to spend the next couple of minutes talking about repairing those relationships so that we can feel good about ourselves, about the relationship, and about this golden age, I guess, we're going into.
So the question is, how do you repair the relationship?
I think, is it fair to say that many people have severed relationships? Or?
Oh, absolutely. It's a big struggle because, like I said, any time you stay in relationship with someone, anyone, long enough, you're going to run into a point where you have a difference of opinion, where you act in a way that they don't like, or they act in a way that you don't like. And how we navigate through that determines, do we stay in relationship with that person or do we terminate that relationship?
And can that be done without your help, with professional help? I mean, how would you advise someone that's like, look, this isn't working?
So, yes, you can do these things without professional help, but you got to find someone that knows more than you, or a book or a resource to help you get there, right? It can be, you know, the old lady at church who's been married for 60 years and you go to her for relationship help, right? If you're struggling with your spouse, you know, it could be that. It doesn't have to be the therapist. Not that I'm denigrating therapists. I'm not. I've used them plenty. But it doesn't have to be that all of the time. And I would say most of the time, a willing ear and a willingness to forgive and a willingness to hear someone out is really goes a long way towards repairing relationship.
So, what's the first step toward that? I want to say that you have a bad day, you're struggling with things, and you tie a lot of those things to a relationship. So if you're feeling that way, what is a good first step? To reach out to your priest, or is it to call your hope line? I mean, I just want people to get help, because I think the longer you wait, the worse it gets. You're the pro. I'm not, but I just personal experiences.
Yeah. So the very first thing is to recognize that things are impacting you, right? You had a bad day at work. You pull in the garage, you slam open the door, you're whipping off your coat, and your wife says something to you and garbage comes out of your mouth, right? Mm-hmm. She didn't do anything wrong. You're taking out your day on her. And the people that we're close to, we do that a lot. And I'm not saying we can't do that, but we also need to be cognizant. Oh, right. That was not her fault at all. This is a me issue. And at some point you need to go back to her and say, oh, look, honey, I'm really sorry. You know, I had a rough day and I took it out on you. What can I do to make it better?
Right.
And then she has to be in a place where she's ready and willing to hear that and maybe offer you suggestions, or at least say, I can't talk to you about this now because I'm too mad at you now.
Right. that's a bad day. Let's talk about people who get in a rut. Right. Day after day, week after week, this is never going to end. I mean, that's sad because they have no idea how many other people they're bringing down. Mm-hmm. Because if you're having a bad day, you or anybody in this room, you think, well, I'll keep it to myself. People can sense if you're having a bad day.
Right. Those mirror neurons that I talked about, we read people and respond. We react. We're programmed to do that. Little babies, before they get any training or education, do that. So those mirror neurons exist. And yes, bad mood is contagious. Depression is contagious. Suicide is contagious if we're not careful how we manage it.
Wow. So, again, you're having, you thought it was a bad day, and then you think, well, it's the weather. this weather's bad. So that's why I'm having a bad day. And then you think, well, Packers didn't win. I'm having a bad day. And then, you know, some people politically aren't having a good day because they don't like who won.
Right.
But maybe it's deeper than that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not all this superficial stuff that you're thinking of. It's like, wait a minute, you need some help.
Yeah. So that self-awareness piece, right? Recognizing when the bad day or the bad event is impacting your ability to maintain relationships. It's impacting your ability to function successfully at work, to take care of your kids, right? When it impacts your day-to-day, that is when it's time to get professional help.
Okay. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the first step. And I think we talked a little bit about the stigma, but it's like, look, I'm in a rut. Things aren't working. My friends aren't as nice to me as they used to be because they don't want to be around me, but I don't know if it's
Everyone's avoiding me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yet I want some professional help. Here we live in Green Bay, Brown County, Northeast Wisconsin. I don't have a lot of money. Where can I get some help?
So there's a whole host of opportunities. So my belief for a long time is that Brown County is resource rich and there are people here that want to attack whatever it is that the problem is, once they know the problem is. What we don't have is a good way for people looking for the resource to find it. Even though I thought 211 was going to be the answer, and it has helped, getting that connection. There's a bunch of resources, and I'll go into that maybe in a little bit.
And I want to talk about 211 because that was a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not the cheapest thing that was done either. So I want to talk about 211 if people aren't using that. You seem to have – I take some comfort in hearing that we're resource rich.
Yeah. Brown County is really a good place to be.
All right. Well, that's cool. We're going to talk about that and how to get this help. And then I want to talk to you in the second segment a little bit about COVID and how that's affected our community, especially with the youth. But we'll get to all that. All right. Well, this is great that you're here. I take great interest in this topic. We're talking to Chris Bivis, and we're talking about she's a certified peer specialist, recovery coach. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. This city on rock and
roll. From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We have a very interesting show here. I always talk about what an award-winning community we live in, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But we also have some people who are struggling with some mental health issues, and we have with us Chris Bivis, who is a certified peer specialist, a recovery coach, and we're going to talk to her a little bit more about what's all going on. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsor of this segment, Nicolet Bank, and you guys know I love Nicolet Bank, and you know this is a bank that started here in 2002. And you talk about it takes community people like Chris, who's here. It takes community neighborhood associations. It takes community-minded businesses to donate and give back to help us help people who are in need of help. And I just want to say Nicolet Bank, I mean, they are just the best. Their mission is to serve our communities, engage employees, build a stronger family within our organization, and have a positive impact on the lives we touch along the way. And, you know, I used to run a business, and Nicolet Bank was always there for the small businesses. We've had some of their Copper State Brewery is a recipient of Nicolet's help and advice and money. And they're just very pleased. And you see this bank that now has, 54 branches. And their core values are what core values should be for everyone and everything. And it's just to be real, right? To be responsive, to be personal, to be memorable, and to be entrepreneurial. And you get people like that in Green Bay that really helps us become a better community. So I just want to thank Nicolet for all they do in Northeast Wisconsin and Michigan now. Thank them for sponsoring Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. So as I said, today we're talking with Chris Bivens. And before we went to break, we're talking about the resources that are available here in our community. And I think that's great, because sometimes you go to some place, it's like, you read about this rural homelessness. That's a scary thing. There's no place to go.
Right.
There's no shelters.
In the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
And there's homeless people out there.
Yes.
But that's not what we're facing here. We have some answers to some of these issues that people are facing, that they're struggling with feeling alone and for lost jobs, anxiety, depression.
Yeah.
And when I was in office, we talked about call 211, and you're saying that is a resource, not a resource.
I think it's a great resource for what they have, right? I think that what happens is because we're resource rich, because we have big hearts, because we have people who see a problem and tackle it, it takes a while for people to know, oh, this group is tackling this issue this way, and I want to support them, right? It takes a while for the community to be aware. So we have more resources than 211 is often aware of. Well, I think, they're working on it, and they're trying to, they have people whose jobs is to find the resources, but it's hard when like everyone is working on stuff. There's a church that's working on this issue and a civic group over here and the,
right.
So how do we get people to know, give the information that you want to help to 211?
Okay. So that's more of a management issue.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, we have to get that commission going.
And there's still people who don't know what 211 is.
Yeah. Okay. That's too bad.
It is.
I mean, that's 10, 15 years it's been around, and that's just it's supposed to be a resource. Like 911 was a resource for emergencies. 211 was a resource for assistance in your community.
Correct.
Wow. Tell me about though other places that people can call. This employee assistance.
So EAPs.
Right. Isn't that prevalent? Do most companies have that? I've sent many employees there.
So
I've been there.
So I think it's a law that companies of a certain size have to have an EAP.
Right.
But we have a lot of entrepreneurs. We have a lot of small businesses that don't have that resource. So if your company, if you are employed by someone who has an EAP, what a phenomenal resource. Free, your boss is not going to know that you used it. They aren't going to share what you discuss, whether you're talking about grandma's will or your fight with your wife. Your boss isn't going to know.
Or a fight with your kid.
Or a fight with your kid.
Like, that's why I went. I mean, she wasn't practicing the piano. And the guy's like, really, that's the biggest issue in your house? I'm like, well, I like music. He's like, yeah, but you're not her. It was like breaking up a beautiful relationship over practicing the piano. And it's like, okay, I think this might be a little bit on
Pick
you.
Your battle.
Right. a teenager. I do want to say, and I want people to learn about that. The guy was great. And I was stressed out. I was mayor and everything. I didn't want a lot of people to know I was there. And it was all very confidential. But it ended up where, I'm not unhealthy, but I wasn't the healthiest guy. And she's healthy. So we ran a marathon together. And that's not something you just wake up and do. You train for 9, 10 months. And that training together was very cool because we ran, obviously every Saturday, and then we'd go to Western a couple times a week.
Physical activity, being outside, those things are all good for your mental health.
Yeah.
And then you were doing it in company.
Right. To get that relationship back.
Yeah.
And she won. She doesn't play the piano. Smart kid. Went to Drake. Anyway, we still laugh about that. But let's talk a little bit. I want to talk a little bit more about that, because some employees may not know your company offers this. I mean, they tell you that in the interview, but nobody
pays attention.
Nobody pays attention.
So EAP, it's some initials. I don't know what it is. Right. Yeah, sign. Right. I'm inundated with all my new job stuff.
Right? And you can go for free. You don't have to get permission to go. It's there for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get sent to that.
So you can.
Yeah, they do.
If they see you struggling and you're not addressing it.
Right. Yeah. So talk about the resources they have there and the different types of relations. It can be you're stressed out about grandma died, or you could probably go there if the dog died. I don't know. They seem to take anything and everybody.
Yeah, anything and every. And some of them are amazing, have financial information for you. Right. They have relationship information for you. They have mental health information for you. They have, you know, whatever the issue is, they will provide the resource or connect you to a resource.
And that is available on a high percent of the companies, I want to think. I mean, every place
large
I've worked has had that. We had a smaller company and we had it. I mean,
it's a great benefit if you're an employer who can offer it. It is an amazing resource.
Okay, so we talked a lot about adults. I want to talk about the youth. And you specialize in that. You know a lot about the youth.
I do. Hope Lines was started for kids. Now we're serving all ages. Our youngest texter to date was 5, and our oldest was 85. Now, let me just say, our 5-year-old was not suicidal. Our 5-year-old wanted to know what the line was and how it worked.
Wow, yeah.
So anyone, anytime, 24/7, can text Hope Line to 741-741. We have over 2,000 volunteers, one of whom will hop on the text with you. The volunteers go through extensive training, and they are backed up by licensed mental health clinicians. So if the volunteer ever feels like they're overwhelmed or if it's a bigger issue than they can manage, the clinician can jump in. But most of the time, our volunteers who care and listen and want to hear it, right, whatever it is, are willing to listen to it, whatever it is, can resolve the issue over 95% of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
So someone's, I don't know, pick anything, job loss, I don't know, a crisis. I'm not saying it's suicidal thinking, but an unsafe relationship or something, right? They can text Hope Line.
Yep.
To 741-741.
Correct.
Someone's going to respond.
30 seconds to 60 seconds is our usual response time, depending on how many counselors are on and how many are in use, in service. But we have a fairly quick response time, and they will stay on the text with you until you tell them you're good and your issue is resolved, or you have a plan for how to resolve it.
Wow. That 95%, it's not like it's cured, but you have a plan. And I think people sometimes just need a plan.
Right. What's the next step I should take?
Right. Well, that's awesome. Hey, I want to, making some notes when I knew you were coming in today, I want to talk a little bit about COVID, okay? I want to talk about, I feel sorry for kids, COVID kids, right?
Yeah.
More so in the 3rd and 4th grade than I do in high school, although they missed out on a huge social part of their life. Tell me, do you get calls on that? Do you have advice for that? Is it one of those get over it? Or is it like, look, you know, I mean, our grandparents lived through the Depression.
Right.
And
did you get over 9/11? Like, no, you don't get over it. It becomes a part of your story. I lived through it. I survived it. You don't really get over it. And with our kids, it has impacted social skills, right? There was a group that was in middle school that missed out on all of that figuring out how to flirt and how to start a relationship. And a lot of them are not dating in high school. We're seeing some trends that way. Older kids, you know, they missed graduation, they missed proms, they had started the flirting stuff, but they didn't date. And so they're doing different things in college relationally. COVID, we had a loneliness epidemic before COVID started. There was going to be a big summit in the Valley to address loneliness before COVID started. It got closed down because of COVID. And during COVID, the loneliness and isolation was forced and got worse. And some of our kids still struggle with, can I be this close to someone? I don't feel safe this close to someone, because they were raised that was the safe social distance, was to stay 6 feet away. And they don't want to talk to people because that's uncomfortable. So it's easier for them to text us on the hope line than it is to call us and have a conversation. Now, that is not true of our 40, 50-year-old people. They don't want to text us. Right. They're like, that's too hard. That's too many buttons with my thumbs. I'm not doing that, right? That age group wants a number that they can call. So there's a Uplift peer support line that was started in Milwaukee this past year that serves the state, that is all peers, providing a call-in service from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. There's the Lifeline, the National Suicide Hotline. We're seeing billboards and posters for 988 all over. We've added a lot of resources, but we're still seeing, I was looking up data for being here, right? Over 20% of adolescents in the U.S. Are diagnosed with mental or behavioral health, and that's up 35%. The stats from 2016 to 2023, up 35%.
Yeah, wow.
And anxiety and depression are the biggest. And part of that is, I think, the lack of social connections, the disconnect that happened with the isolation, separation, social distancing part of COVID.
So we'll just put that all under the, for the youth, the pandemic skip. I mean, they just missed
chunks of development.
And everybody's like, well, they missed the academic side of it. I don't know. Academics, I was never some scholar, but I sure enjoyed the social part of school. You know, prom and class president. I just enjoyed that, and that's all gone. That's a little depressing for these kids, but you're saying that this hope line can explain this to them, and this is why you're kind of feeling that way?
And provide support and encourage them to make connections, to try out for a team or do something they haven't done before,
right,
where they build friends.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's awesome. All right. This is good stuff. We have one more quick segment left. Can you stick around? I know you got to get going. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, Chris Bivens, who is a recovery coach, a certified peer specialist, helping us talking about the mental health in our community and ways to access some help as we go along here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, talking with Chris Bivens, who is really someone who understands the mental health throughout the whole spectrum. We talked about 5-year-olds to 85-year-olds, dealing with issues, some resources available. We were talking about COVID, and I'm concerned about that. I have a daughter who works in early childhood development, and actually with a lot of kids, but that's more her specialty. And we talk about this, and I feel bad that some kids missed out on that, but they're not alone. I mean, there's a whole bunch of kids that missed out on this. I mean, this was a more than national. This is a worldwide pandemic,
worldwide.
You know, that happened. And I think that is being addressed. You mentioned some things through this hope line where people can kind of call and text people and maybe even reconnect with some other, 18, 20, whatever year olds.
Yep. And there's support groups, Foundations is doing dudes and tacos. They're trying to help young men connect in a healthy community with other men, so that they can address mental health issues and not feel alone.
Dudes and tacos. I'm liking that.
Yeah. Okay. And they don't serve tacos every time, but often.
Okay. All right.
And tacos is an acronym for something. I don't remember what.
So COVID is kind of a period of time, you know, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, depending who you talk to. But something that was here long before COVID and unfortunately is sticking around is the social media. And I've done my share of research on social media because I have some theories on that. And people are like, that's not true. And I look it up and I'm like, you want to bet? Just in terms of people who post all the time, they have deeper issues if they're posting, here I am, here's where I went, this is what I'm doing in my life. Like, I don't care. They care much more than I do about that, right?
Well, again, I'm going to say age group dependent,
right?
Oh, yeah. 'Cause some of our kids live online.
I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about 50, 60-year-olds. I'm talking about those people have bigger issues than telling us where they are.
And showing you every meal they eat.
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, so
let's move on. There's a downside. I'll talk about kids and social media. I want to talk about kids and video games, kids and, like, did we create their loneliness?
So screen time is kind of going up exponentially, and there are some downsides to that. Kids aren't playing outside as much. We're not as physically active. Being outside in nature is good for our mental health, and we're staring at a blue screen. So there are some downsides to that. There's the downsides of, like, comparing yourself to the person who's posting their 27th effort to make the perfect video, right? You don't see numbers 1 through 26 right. of all their mistakes. And if you think that they did that with the first take and all of their stuff is so great, it makes you feel like, why can't I get something done in the first take? Right. So there's some of that comparison piece. That is really hard for a certain age group. I'm feeling like the younger kids are getting better education about recognizing issues around that and not doing that kind of comparison in the same
Good.
Way.
Yeah.
They're getting more education about the diet of social media and picking and choosing your food or your apps or what you pay attention to is just as important social media wise as nutrition wise, right? And consciously making those choices, not letting the algorithms make the choices for you.
I think you're right. I mean, I know you're right, but you know, to underscore that, the Surgeon General, I mean, who's the doctor of the United States, right?
Yeah.
Says that's a problem. Social media is a problem.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. He finally said something about it. I think there was a big, huge whisper campaign about it. And, you know, far be it for me to drop names. No, I do know. I haven't met him. And he always says that if I could give one prescription out, this is for physical health.
Yeah.
It would be people to walk 30 minutes a day.
Yep.
That's what he said. It's free. And he goes, if I could give out one prescription, I mean, there's so many drugs out there right now, but when it comes to mental health, he weighed in on that pretty heavy, that we're not on the right track here. And what can a parent do? Or what can a kid do? I mean, these are smart kids, you know, they can make a lot of decisions on their own.
Well, there are things like NetNanny or other programs that allow you to have some control over how much time your child can spend online. Then you got to navigate. How much time are they spending online for their homework? How much time are they spending online chatting with friends? How much time are they spending watching their TV shows? Because they don't watch the TV. They watch their phone. So navigating that, there are parental controls that can help you do that. Having the phone sleep in the living room and the kids sleep in the bedroom is one of the biggest things. So they're not tempted to watch the blue screen and stay up all night and play video games or talk to their friends. Again, picking and choosing the right things. There are games that have been researched that we know decrease anxiety, decrease depression, can help kids with chronic illness manage pain better, right? So doing the research on the games that you're giving to your kids or allowing them to access and choosing the ones that address your child's individual needs. If you have a child with ADHD, don't give them the game that hypes them up. Give them the game that makes them chill out. Have them play Feather for a while and they will maybe drift off to sleep.
Wow. I wish you would have had that when I was younger. what you do is admirable. And I think when I look at, you know, Green Bay becoming this great community, it's organizations like you, people like you that really make it work. And we love Schreiber and the Packers and everything else.
Absolutely.
Tell me about your funding, though. I mean, can people help organizations like...
Oh, I would love it if people would help. We're always looking for resources to contribute. We're really, really honored and excited that the Packers and Give Big Green Bay chose us as an organization this year. So February 19th and 20th, get on the Give Big Green Bay platform. There's 49 other great agencies that were selected.
But you need it. You need it bad. So when it's the Give Back Green Bay, we go down to what do we hit? What
Center for Suicide Awareness.
Okay. Center for Suicide Awareness, Give Big, and then that's matched by the Packers, which is awesome.
Yes.
All right. That could be a good day for you. Hey, we're out of time, but just thank you for being here. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you for having
me. We appreciate you being here.
And thank you for bringing the mental health conversation.
All right. We'll do it again. All right. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.